The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. After growing up as a pastor's daughter, Janie Burkett ran away from God and chose a life of bulimia, alcoholism, drug addiction, and drug dealing.
I turned into someone who hated God. Hated God, hated myself, hated God, hated other people, and did not want nothing to do with Christians whatsoever. Nothing to do with God, because God had let me down so many times.
When her 40-year prison sentence was overturned, Janie found salvation, healing, and freedom. Next.
Hey, appreciate it. We welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have an opportunity to spend a few moments with you, and I think you're going to be very glad. You know, we're going to be showing you some people later that are held captive against their will as prisoners in the sex industry, which is a $32 billion industry, trafficking, selling the bodies of children, girls, and sometimes boys to predators and using them until they are destroyed. Sometimes, however, a person becomes a prisoner because of the practices, not because someone has captured them, but because the powers of deception and darkness and defeat have taken advantage. And sometimes it comes because someone's been hurt. And sometimes, Betty, they've been hurt by something that happens in a religious setting. I've got to be, quite frank, sometimes church folks can be very unchristlike and very unkind, and it's typical that they'll often do it in the name of God, to take care of God, and yet they're very much unlike God. This was something that happened to a pastor's daughter, that she saw some things that disappointed her. Ultimately, it led her to a terrible life of shame and guilt and addiction, until her life was nearly destroyed. She's told her story in a book that is titled A Road to Freedom Unshackled. Her name is Janie Burkett. Would you welcome Janie to Life Today? Janie, we're glad to see you.
Nice to be here.
Well, you're supposed to be locked up in prison for what would amount to a lifetime.
Yes, I am.
It's a miracle that you're not. It's a complete miracle. I want to go back. And you tell us, because I reference the fact that sometimes church people will respond in a way to certain things that is not exactly best or meaningful, and that actually happened to you. Tell us what actually set you on your heels, so to speak, and then you started on a journey. I think there may have even been some personal things going on in your life. You indicate in your book that you had a real addiction to food. And were overweight. All those things were in already, let's say, a problem area to you, but then everything just piled in. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, we were, my dad and my mother and I, we were all, we were pastors in Baguio, Oklahoma. We had a church there, and it was a great church. And then the things began to happen, and, you know, we just really got hurt in that church, which really caused me to have a lot of self issues, you know, with maybe the way that church is or the way that people are, you know. I always had a problem eating and was insecure with myself and things like that. So really, the hurt that happened to me as a child inside the church really set me on a path. We basically resigned the church, you know, when I was about 10 years old. We went on the evangelistic field and we traveled, you know, around. And so it was my mom and dad and then my two sisters and I. And so we lived in a 28-foot motorhome for like 2.5 years, you know. And then the Lord gave us a bigger one, and we had 35 feet. So it was much challenging, you know. And so instead of really not knowing how to accept the fact that we had left the church and we had left our home and the stability and school and all that, I just began to eat, you know, to fill that void inside of me. And then I began like 200 pounds at 16. I was 200 pounds at 16.
All right, now how did you respond to that? What happened?
I started bulimia, eating disorder called bulimia.
Because you didn't like yourself?
I hated myself. I hated what God had made. So then the Lord finally told us, after we traveled for 5.5 years on the evangelistic field and going from church to church and meeting different people, and while we were on the field, I was raped at 16. And so I really had more of a self image problem after that, and then the bulimia just became
more. Did you get to a point where you finally just blame God for all the things that were happening to
you? Of course. It was all God's fault. You know, God is the one who did this to me. God is the one who chose this life for me. But God wanted to give us good, and God was giving us good with the revivals and everything. We were seeing people saved, set free all over, but yet I had such a problem within me, hating me. And then after the rape, it just become more prone, as you would say. Then we settled down in Henderson, Texas, and we started a church to build a church there. And I just really did not know where to go, how to turn. I didn't know how to start a new life because...
How old were you at the time when y'all got to Henderson?
16.
Okay.
16. It was right after I was raped. And I just really fell into the drug life. I wanted someone to love me and accept me and to accept me for all of my baggage. You know,
and were your parents aware of what was happening to you? Could they see this, or was it more hidden at the time when you started?
They saw it, and they tried to help me. You know, my mom and my dad, they're wonderful people, and they really tried to pump God into me. But, you know, God has been shoved down my throat all my life, you know, and as you would say.
Sure.
Yeah. But I think at a point, you have to accept God for yourself. You have to know Jesus yourself. Not just because your parents know Jesus.
All right, now I know for a fact because I've read it in the book. You really, really got in trouble. I mean,
yes.
you took the drug situation another step. Tell everyone what happened.
Well, by the time I was 22 years old, I was charged with 17 different warrants. Out from my arrest, from organized crime to manufactured delivery, possession of a controlled substance. I was an IV user for about 5 years. I started cocaine when I was 17, and then it just began from cocaine to meth to heroin, IV using, and then it began, eventually it was selling drugs, and then trying to do the habit and the
doing this out of Henderson?
Tyler area, Henderson. It was mostly in Tyler and Dallas. In the East Texas area and the North Texas. And, you know, I really fell into a hard life. You know, I fell into the drug cartel, running dope and selling dope. And you would never think it was the nice, oh, sweet Janie, you know, growing up and loving Jesus. I had turned into someone who hated God. Hated God, hated myself, hated God, hated other people, and did not want nothing to do with Christians whatsoever. Nothing to do with God because God had let me down so many times. You know, and now God is so real to me. But back then, he was such the enemy. Satan had just tore my mind up saying that he's the enemy.
Your response to other people's incorrect action was to do more, even more incorrect, to greater extremes than even those who disappointed you.
Yes.
Trying to find some way to escape, and you were actually creating a prison, which in your case actually led you to prison.
Yes.
Now, you had a series of situations related to prison. Ultimately ended up in a miracle. Tell us that journey through the prison life.
Okay. Well, after the 17 charges and everything, and I was booked in on five, $1.5 million bond was my bond, my first time down. Well, I eventually led me to prison, and all the charges got dropped down to two. And on the first degree felony, I was given a 10-year adjudicated probation carrying 30-year prison sentence. And on the second degree felony, I got a 5-year prison sentence in the women's prison facility. And I spent 7 months in the prison for the mentally insane in Rust, Texas, called the Skyview Unit. After that, I said, Lord, if you release me, I'll serve you. You know, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you, you know. And God and I made a deal in jail.
I thought.
But he did. He released me from prison, and I was paroled out on December 31st, 2007. But I did not know how to stay clean and sober and live a life in society as a good citizen of the world, or however you would say it. So 6 weeks later, I fell back into my addictions, drinking again and drugging again. But see, I had to take a drug test every single week, so I couldn't do the drugs like I did before. So I just became a full-blown alcoholic, drinking a bottle of Jack Daniel's whiskey a day, a fifth of whiskey a day. And all I could keep down was baby food and applesauce because I was about 86 pounds. And I had my body had completely shut down. I had been tube fed, I don't know how many times, two or three times, in and out of the hospital from the bulimia and the anorexia. It just really went on a downward spiral. My parents kept telling me about a place called Teen Challenge. Now, did I want to go there? No. Okay. So I kind of bickered with God for a little while, and then I said, okay, God, I'll go. So I was on my way to Teen Challenge, or thinking I was on my way to Teen Challenge, and because the judge had signed off for me to go to Teen Challenge, my parole had been transferred because I was on parole and probation. See, well, I wanted to go do one more rendezvous before I went to go get clean and sober. And when I came back, I had to see my probation officer, and I failed my drug test. And on December 2nd, 2008, I was arrested and put back in jail. And on December the 18th, I stood in front of the judge. We thought she was going to court order me to the Teen Challenge program. Instead, she gave me a 40-year prison sentence for breaking my probation.
40 years.
Mm-hmm. 40 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. That's a lifetime.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Because of my choices. Because of me saying no to the will of God. That's all it's about. And so, but that's what it took to break me. I was so stubborn in my will. It took that 40-year sentence to say, Janie, wake up. I have a plan for you, and you've got to get it. This is what the Lord, I mean, He used this to wake me up tremendously. And so I went back to jail and fell out and didn't know what I was going to do, because at this time I was like 90 pounds. Like I said, 90 pounds. I had no life before me whatsoever. You know, I'm locked up for 40 years in this prison. My body was completely shutting down. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep, nothing, you know. And a couple of weeks later, this woman had been coming to the jail ministry, and she had been ministering, and I believe in jail ministry. This is why I do what I do. Mm-hmm. And she came to me with a word, a rhema word from God. And she said, Janie, I came to tell you after your sentence, but you wouldn't hear me, but I came back to tell you what God told me. She said, God told me the day you were sentenced to tell her, for it's not over for God until I say it's over, for I have the final word in her life. Mm-hmm. Man, talk about a seed of hope in my life. And I began to turn around. At that point, God says, Janie, I have a plan for you. There is still hope for you. And so I was transferred back to the Women's State Prison to serve out my 40-year prison sentence. And this is where I said, okay, God, I give it up. I said, Lord, if it be your will, but then would you please overturn this sentence and send me to the Teen Challenge program so that I can become the woman that you've called me to be? But if not, then give me the grace to accept the fact that I will spend most of my life in this prison and give me peace and love to do it. But I accept you right now. And so at that time back at home, my parents had been going to 17 different attorneys to find out if my sentence could be overturned. Not one attorney would take my case. Not everyone said, it's impossible, it cannot be done, no one will overturn it. The judge has been on the bench for 25 years, she's not going anywhere, it's impossible. One of the highest power attorney in our area said that he ain't seen of a sentence like overturned like this in 55 years in the state of Texas.
You're getting all kinds of hope.
I'm telling you, God is in the miracle working business.
Yes, he is.
So I tell you. And so my previous attorney who had my case, he contacted my dad for some reason and to talk or somehow. And you know what? He said, you know, Leland, I have not been able to eat or sleep or anything since Janie got sentenced. He said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take up this case again for free, and I'm going to petition the new judge for a new trial. Well, come to find out, the judge who sentenced me, she resigned the bench, and a new judge was brought into office. Yeah. And that new judge heard my case. It wasn't until I said, God, I will serve you. In or out of prison, I will serve you. I give my life to you, until God heard my cry and said, okay, now I see your heart and I know that you're worth something. You're worth something before, you're worth something now, but you're better now because now you can go out and you can touch other people's lives with your story. That's why God set me free from prison. And I came back to that. I came back in front in Smith County and I stood in front of the new judge, 84 pounds again, completely broken, but this time my heart was changed. And I asked that judge, We asked her that she would overturn my sentence and send me to the Teen Challenge program so that I could go through the program and be who I need to be. But if not, then send me to a medical facility in prison so that I will not die while I'm locked up. And so she made her decision, and when she came out, she said, "Miss Burkett, this was a very hard case." She said, however, she said, "If I could give you 60 years and probate it, I would, because what you have done is unacceptable with this court." I was a drug dealer. I run people's lives, but I see now that God's given me a voice to speak into people's lives, okay? Yep. So she said, "So what I'm gonna do is," she said, "but that would not be merciful, nor would it be compassionate to give you that sentence." She said, "So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna confine you to the women's state prison for 10 years with a $10,000 fine." And I just went, okay, it's better than 40, you know? And she said, however, she said, "I'm gonna probate that sentence, that you go to the Teen Challenge program, you complete the program, and you make something of yourself, Miss Burkett."
Wow.
Let me tell you.
And you did, you went.
And I did.
And God changed your life.
Changed my life.
As He has so many at Teen Challenge, so many I know and love. I praise God for what the Lord led David Wilkerson to go to New York City to birth.
Yeah.
He didn't have an idea where it would end up. The movie, The Cross and the Switchblade, which Pat Boone was in, many others that you know. What a tremendous story. But okay, your life was totally changed then.
Yeah.
Now, how many years ago was that you went to that Teen Challenge? How many has it been?
4 years.
4 years.
March 2nd, it will be 4 years that I graduated. They had to feed me 1 ounce at a time for 4 to 6 months until I was learned how to eat again and live again and gain weight. And it was very hard, but I made it. Mm-hmm. And so now my vision is to have a home for women like myself, mm-hmm, called Janie's House of Hope.
And you have it already started, and everything's being built and get ready.
We're remodeling.
And it's in Henderson. What do you call it?
It's called Janie's House of Hope.
Janie's House of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have a website so people could find out about it if they wanted, mm-hmm, to support it? If they wanted perhaps to say, when you're ready, we might have someone you could help take care of?
Yes.
What's the website?
It's www.janieshouseofhope.com, right, or you could go to my personal website, you know, because I do a lot of speaking and traveling, right, you know.
If they wanted you to come speak, would they go to your website?
Sure, they could go to my website, janieburkett.com. All my information is on there.
All right, and if you wanted the book, you could get that online there, too. Do you praise God for what He did in Janie's life and what He's going to do with her life now? Isn't it amazing? There is nothing impossible for God. Listen, there are some of you sitting here who say, "Well, I've got issues too. I got just some of those issues." Some of you may say, "James, I think I've dug an even deeper pit." And you know, Beth Moore, who teaches here week after week, she says she dug a pit.
Yeah.
She dug her own pit, but God was able to lift her up. If you want someone to pray with you, someone to care, someone to share, you call that number. Right there, it's a prayer line. And say, "Would you pray with me? I need help. I want to give my life to God like Janie did."
Yeah.
And you'll find that He gives all of Himself to you because He gave His Son for you. Janie, you know, we reach out all over the world and touch people with God's love. And we're doing something right now I know you can identify with because you've seen people trapped. We are seeking to rescue, literally rescue and restore people who have been sold into slavery in the sexual predatory area and realm. I want you to watch this closely, please, not just with your eyes, but with your heart. And I'm going to show you how you can be a part of a miracle.
These are the ones that I've preyed upon, innocent kids, just playing around in their neighborhood. But these are some of the kids that are actually in danger.
Every child is at risk, but little girls are especially at risk. They're taken and they're trafficked into the red light district.
This evil, known as human trafficking, destroys the lives of thousands of innocent children, little by little, through unspeakable acts of sexual violence, for the sole purpose of making money.
This man has now been asking Lakshmi's mother for her. He wants her to start to sell herself to men so that he can be making money.
This is the reality of human trafficking, It is people living in the shadows, depraved people, trading in human flesh, who for the love of money are taking captive young girls and using them like caged animals until their bodies can no longer perform the sordid acts demanded of them.
Can you imagine to be taken as a 9-year-old little girl, spending your entire life in the brothel, and then thrown out like an animal because you can no longer sell your body as a sex slave?
These children, these girls, are crying for someone to help them find a way out before they too are left for death.
What people do for the love of money, to take children, just that woman that Gisele was talking about, and by the way, she was trafficked. And she works with us now. And you know what we do with those women when we get them set free? We rescue them. We teach them a trade so they can make a living, which is how many of them were taken into slavery, because their parents were told they were being taken to teach them a skill so they could make a living and help their impoverished family. And now, Betty, we can get them out of that situation and put them in a place. We're seeking in Cambodia to build a safe house. We desperately need it. I mean, it really is a house of hope and a house of destiny, which is what we call the home in Thailand, which is an unbelievable place. Well, we need to start a safe house there, and it's going to cost $345,000. It'll be about $2 million here in the States. But over there, because of the labor and because of the less expensive building, we can do that. But we need your help to do it. And Betty, it takes $128 average to rescue someone like that woman that Gisele was talking about. And everybody can do that, or at least give part of it. We got some friends that will match what people give. In other words, if you had, say, $64 now, it would then be matched, and we'd have $128. So there's a level at which everyone can step in and help us.
And that's not very much. That cost is not very much when you think about what you're doing. You're reaching out and you're giving hope to the hopeless. These precious children don't know when they're taken what's ahead of them. They don't know the imprisonment that they're put into, the abuse and all the just horrible things that they go through. They're treated worse than animals, and we can make that difference. We can give them a place to lay their little heads. We can give them a place they can go to be children as they should be able to be. So please join with us, and let's reach out to these precious little ones.
You know, they had an Academy Award-winning film several years ago called Slumdog Millionaire, and it showed how they were taking children right where we work in India. And you saw one of our missionaries there in India, where children would be left near the railroad, and the parents just leave them. And then predators would come and get them, and they would take them into sexual slavery, but they would also take them and pluck out one of their eyes or cut off one of their hands so they would make beggars out of them. And they would be more effective as beggars if they didn't have a hand or they didn't have an eye. And that's how evil the love of money can make people. Money's not evil, it does good things. I'm asking you to help people with money. But the love of money causes people to do those things, and then being a slave, sold in sexual bondage. Those people are there totally against their will. They're not trying to make a living. They're being used. And the love of God through missionaries and relief workers, we can set them free, but they need our support. The missionaries have planted their lives in the midst of that pain and suffering. Now they ask us, keep us here. Give us the wherewithal to put loving arms around them. Would you dial that number? I'm so glad missionaries can communicate with us at Life, because they know our viewers want to share the life and love of God. Would you dial that number, take your bank card, use it like a check, please, or go online and make your gift, lifetoday.org. Your gift to help us rescue those precious children and those women will be doubled, matched by some caring friends that believe in what we're doing. And then we need you to help us build that safe house. If you could possibly make a gift of $1,000 or more, please, that's going to cost $345,000 alone. We have some special gifts for you to say thank you, but I think when you see what your love does, that's all the thanks you need. We give you gifts to bless you in your spiritual journey because we love you and we care about your journey. Thank you so much for making that call. Thank you for your gift.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And now, a miracle opportunity of a matching grant means your gift of $128 to help rescue a child will be matched to help rescue two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help rescue one child from the horrors of human trafficking. This year, with your help, we also hope to build a safe house in Cambodia where young rescued girls can find safety, loving care, and direction for a new life. The cost of this safe house is $345,000. With your gift, please request My Daily Gift, a beautiful new devotional describing the great love of God who treasures you more than you can imagine. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you'll receive the Side-by-Side Bible, which includes the easy-to-read New International Version and the Amplified Text with its additional words and insights. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help establish the safe house in Cambodia. And you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Thank you so much for your help. I want to encourage you to help us with the safe house. You make that $1,000 gift, we're going to send you the beautiful glass sculpture, The Blessing. We're sending My Daily Gift for any gift you make, knowing that if you help us rescue those children, those women, your gift is going to be doubled because some caring friends said, we will match your gift. We want to be a part of this. If you'd like to have Janie's book, Unshackled, because you know someone who may need this story, you want the inspiration, you want to know more about what she's doing, maybe be a part of it, there's her website. But we'd be happy to send you the book to say thank you for helping us help others. Join Betty and me in saying thanks to Janie again for being our guest. Janie, God bless you.
Thank you. God
open
bless
doors
you.
For you and provide is my prayer. You want to help Janie? You may need to get somebody over there to Henderson. Get in touch with her. Thanks so much for watching.
God Himself marched into your circumstance and pulled that thing off. Every time that happens, that builds your confidence level for the next time.
Priscilla Shirer, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.